I'm Sid Garza-Hillman, and this is what I think.
First day of school for my eldest daughter yesterday, and she's a sophomore. So dropping her off, and I said, listen, you know the deal with freshmen. When I went to high school in Texas, the nickname for a freshman was Fish. She knows that. And, you know, they'd be like, Fish, you know, like that kind of thing. And I told her that story last year because she was a freshman, and she said, they all hate freshmen. I was like, look, that's what happens. And so I dropped her off at school, and I said, listen, you've got now you're a sophomore and you've got incoming freshmen coming. Think about how you felt when you were entering. And so be nice to them because they're all nervous and they're all freaking. And I saw a freshman, I'm not kidding you. He looked like he was 7. He was the littlest. And I'm going, these kids are, they're so, I forgot how young 13, 14 year olds. My goodness. That's an aside. I'm not saying that just because I was 5 feet flat when I entered high school, which I was. But that's, again, neither here nor there. So I said to her, I said, look, be nice. You know, I said, and I recounted the story. I said, remember, I was like, you know, and I was freshman in Kingwood and Texas, didn't know anybody. And I'm standing there and this girl just goes, Fish, like that. So I'm telling my daughter the story again. And she goes, well, you kind of did look like a fish. And that was not the point of the story. That was not, never was the point of the story. I said, did not look like, she goes, you had glasses and you kind of had, I said, did not look like a fish. That had nothing to do with, that's neither here nor there. So I felt like that was a good father-daughter moment where I was trying to teach her empathy, and she told me that I looked like a fish when I was 14. That explains some things. Not everything, but it definitely explains some things. I'm not going to say which is which. Am I? No, not going to. Posted another video on Vimeo. Boy, did I take a hit when I moved off YouTube? Woo! Good night, Johnny. I think my last video got 7 views. But thank you, and I'll send out another newsletter soon. I'm gonna stick to it right now. I'm just gonna stick to it, and because I know that's who I am. I know that I'm happier being on Vimeo, and so there it is. But did I take a hit? Oh, good night. So that's how that goes. And a quick thanks to the Patreon folks, and especially the ones that came out to the hangout. We had a little live Q&A, but it was more like just a back and forther. Really fun. So thanks you guys who showed up and we had a nice talk and fun for me. I think that's probably the most important thing, is that it was fun for me. And I hope it was fun for you too, in all reality. If that's, so join Patreon, become a patron, $3 a month or 5 or 10 or whatever gets you a Nutty Nut Nut shirt and a live hangout with me. I think that's freaking amazing. But thank you, in all seriousness. Okay, so I'm jumping right into this. I'm jumping right into the episode here because that's what I do. And this one's called the eggshell episode. I'm just paused there because I wanted to see if you guys were like, eggshell episode, and I didn't hear anybody say that. Eggshell. Here's a pet peeve of mine, and it's been a pet peeve of mine for many a year, but it's heightened in today's culture. Okay. I hate walking on eggshells. I hate walking on eggshells with people. I hate having to be super duper careful. So now we're in this age of ultra PC. And this has been on my mind. And so I want to start out by saying I'm not anti-PC. I'm actually not anti-PC. And so I want to be clear about this, because for me, a lot of this is just when things have swung too far. And I've talked in this podcast, certainly not in the last show, but in What Sid Thinks, about fringe, how the fringe is sort of calling the shots now. And they used to be sort of like, they're fringe. And now they're like, they're the thing. They're like got a bigger voice, I think, mostly because of social media. Don't get me started. But I'm hearing the freaking crazy left and the crazy right. And I'm like, you guys aren't representative of the most of us who are kind of hanging in middle with a little more subtle differences, but we can sort of be able to talk to each other. But that's not what's happening now. And so it's become this way too, I don't want to say way too PC, because I don't know if that's the case. I think it's way too sensitive about PC. Maybe that's the better thing. My biggest problem with PC culture is that I personally And what I'm seeing in the culture, at least in the United States, is I feel like I'm expending, and we are expending, a significant amount of energy being ultra careful. And I think it's a recipe for disaster. When I have to pay attention to what I say in every situation, it's freaking exhausting. And I'll get to the damage that I think that's causing toward the end of this episode. But in general, political correctness. And I remember being at UCLA and Jesse Jackson was speaking in sort of the main quad by the student union. I think it was a freshman, a fish, if you will. And he was, that's the first time that I heard the term political correctness. This would have been like an 87 or 88 of 19, 87 or 80, not 18. I'm not that old. And so he's talking about political correctness. And I was noting then, I was like, okay, well, it made sense to me because it was like, okay, well, we're all living together in this culture. United States is freaking amazing because this is what drives me nuts about people who are like nationalists. It's not that we tolerate like the best part of the United States, the actual best part, not just like, oh, we get along, but like the actual best part, which makes this country in many ways so much better, I think, is that there are different cultures, but whatever, it's fine, whatever. So we're all living together. And we're living together. And so political correctness simply says, okay, well, let's be aware of our language. And I think that is amazing, because I think, as I've talked about before, language is significant, it's substantial, it's real, and it's something, it's not just words, it's definitely not just words. And so to pay attention to what you say, I think is incredible and necessary when you're living with people who may not share the same political views that you have, that may have come from a different ethnic background and have different culture and whatever, and different traditions and rituals. And so to pay attention, I think that's amazing. I think I'm a proponent, obviously, with what I do for a living, for paying attention. I think when we have the ability to pay attention in our lives, we do best by ourselves, and we certainly do best by other people when we pay attention to, you know, what we stand for, our all the things I talk about in this podcast, principles, who we are, paying attention. It's not enough to know who we are. It's that we have to build in the ability to pay attention to that, to be aware of that. And I think that being aware of our words and how we communicate is a huge part of that picture. So I couldn't agree more that it's a necessary in a civil society to pay attention to your words. I absolutely believe that. Here's my problem with it. I think that somehow we're getting farther away from any benefit of the doubt. And here's what I mean. We've come in this culture, many of us, to assume the worst in people even after the slightest misstatement. And maybe it's not a misstatement, maybe it's just a plain old mistake. It's too late. Once something slips out of our mouths that is not perfectly PC, the attack is formidable. I mean, to the point where we will try to destroy somebody. I mean, just there's no chance of you know, making things right. You just can't. Once you said it, you're done. You cannot make it right ever again. I think that's a very, very bad direction that we are heading into. I think that we assume in this new age that language always equals intention. We don't say, maybe they just said a stupid thing, but maybe that's not really who they are, or maybe they said it 15 years ago and we're dredging it up on Twitter now. We're talking about this thing that they did 15 years, and there's no chance that they've grown and evolved since then 15 years ago. Good Lord, I don't even know. There's probably things I did 15 years ago that I would be like, uh-oh, glad that doesn't come out. I don't know. I'm hoping that I'm still evolved. Let's say when I was 35. What did I do? I think I wore plaid. So that's probably, you know, I don't want people to know about that stuff. That's horrible. And so we always, in today, we assume language equals intention. If somebody says something and then they go, oh, I said that thing. That was not what I meant to say. What I meant to say was, nope, sorry, too late. Because that was your intention, because you said those words. And I think that's a really shitty place to be. I think that political correctness, as valid and necessary as it is now at a precipice. It's at a point where where we're focusing too much on the words and obliterating intention, man, are we in a world of trouble, which in a way we are, but I think the direction is what's scaring me, is that if it gets any worse, we're in deep shit. Because the reality is it's both words and intention, meaning that words have obviously meaning. They are expressions of our thoughts. But if we misstate something, even though our intention is true, but no, there's no highlighting or no shedding light on our intention and only on the words, man, that's a bummer. And I mean bummer like that's the understatement of the world, right? So it's getting to that point. If it hasn't gotten to that point already, where we're looking at people's words. And I think that social media has done absolutely nothing to help this. In fact, I think social media has done a very, very effective and excellent job of inflaming this problem and making it so that we are, in 140 characters, judging the entirety of somebody's being. I think that's very, very dangerous. It's one of the reasons of many that I quit all social media was because I didn't want to be involved in that. I don't want to be walking on eggshells all the time. I don't want to have to freaking write something and then look at it 1,500 times because there might be something that is not PC that I missed. And here's what's worse is I could be writing something today that's not PC, but in a year from now, that is PC, but in a year from now, it's not PC. We could be using terms right now in social media that in a year from now are all of a sudden racist. And then somebody's going to bring that thing up and go see what they said. And it's like, well, yeah, but it didn't mean that thing. There's words that we said when we were kids that now are totally inappropriate. We don't say them anymore, but we're not bad people because we said them in 1984. We didn't think about them. It may have even had a certain meaning, but we didn't think about our intention wasn't that this thing had that bad meaning. When we became adults and realized, oops, that's a word that doesn't, it means this thing and that's not good because that's not what I stand for, we stopped using it. But if we used it 20 years ago, that's going to start coming up against us in weird ways. And I guess this is my biggest worry, that it doesn't necessarily need to happen that way. If we had a culture where we could say, yeah, well, that was 20 years ago. I mean, look what he or she has been doing since. Like, obviously, that's not who they are. We don't do that now because that's not what gets hits. That's not what gets hits, and that's not what gets mentioned. We are fostering a culture today where everyone is now on the lookout to nail. It works best for YouTube battles between this YouTuber and that YouTuber, which is so inane and so utterly ridiculous that I can't believe sometimes it's real. My daughter will even mention, she'll be like, there, this YouTuber's in a fight with this YouTuber about that he said something. And I was just like, oh my God. And my job as a parent with her is to shed light on how inane and ridiculous it is. I mean, just to say, like, this is not the important stuff of life. This is not the important stuff of life. That they get millions of hits and make lots of money from advertising on those videos is just part and parcel to how ridiculous this stuff is that people are making money off these things. It's not pushing us forward. It's not pushing us forward. I think hopefully everybody agreeing, listening to this episode will go, yes, of course. The question is, what are you going to do about it, right? But one thing is I'm not saying quit all social media like I did. I'm saying limit it, you know, limit it the way you would limit junk food, because it is damaging and it is inflaming in some senses, the worst of us. I was just talking to my wife, had some friends in town from high school, and they're on social media, but we had this, and they're super intelligent. We were having this discussion, one's a teacher, one's a scientist, and we were sort of having this discussion about social media, and they were saying, you know, without social media, like, we wouldn't have reconnected. They were talking about them and my wife. And so it's not, I've never been, even at the time that I quit, I never said it's all bad. My wife's still on it, very limited, private account, like nobody can see her photos except for people that she okays. That's her kind of her deal. But she's been able through social media to keep in contact with people that she, you know, had great relationships with, and it's been very valuable. And that just wasn't my bag. And I remember saying at the time, like, that just wasn't my thing. But I never said it was all bad. I just said that it's in general not something that I personally wanted to be involved in, because I saw and am seeing the direction of that this is going, and I didn't use it for the same things that my wife uses it for. I never was on it on that level. So whatever, here, neither here nor there. So what I'm back to is saying we are fostering as a culture where we nail people for their words, we never ask about their intention, and we're getting so hyper-focused on catching someone saying the wrong thing that everybody now has to walk on eggshells. And here's the unforeseen result of that. Have you ever had a manager who hovers over you, who is over your freaking shoulder. She or he is looking at every move you make, and they're just hyper-focused on you. What is the result of that? Anybody know? Okay, nobody's going to answer. Okay, fine. The result is that probably there's a good chance you're going to make more mistakes because it makes you nervous, and you can't get into the zone. You can't be free in your ability to do your work. You're now hyper-focused on something that you ordinarily wouldn't be hyper-focused on. You learn to do your thing and you want to do it. But when somebody's looking over your shoulder, you'll end up making more mistakes than you would have if they weren't over your shoulder. That's what's happening. That's what I see happening. I'm seeing that the culture is becoming micromanagers, that we're all looking for everybody else to make a littlest mistake. And because we're involved on that level, we're actually, I believe, causing more mistakes. People are walking on eggshells. That is never a good situation in any relationship, whether it be interpersonal between you and one other person. If you're in a relationship, you have to walk on eggshells all the time. It's exhausting. We have enough going on in our lives with all the stress of modern living, trying to eat out health and happiness in some way that we can, that to then have to be so hyper-focused on everything we say and to have to be so careful, it is an energy expenditure that is debilitating. It's debilitating. It's stress that is on top of stress that is on top of stress. So maybe, just maybe, it's best that we back off just a tad.
Here for you.